Our gospel reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. Page 105 in the Pew Bible. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." Let us pray. Our gracious and most loving God, we thank you that we know because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that resurrection is promised us. We also know that while we are here on earth, that we can be unbound from whatever it is that keeps us from drawing closer to the Lord. So we do pray that we would look to see what it is that is keeping us bound, what it is that we need to be set free of, and how it is that we can rejoice in the resurrection of those who have gone on. Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray that the words that I am about to speak are your words and yours alone. Open our hearts and our minds to receive the message that you have for us this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today is All Saints' Day, the day that we remember all those who have accepted God's invitation to follow his Son, Jesus Christ. Those who have gone on to be with the Lord. Those who have had an impact on our lives because of their faith, because of how they have lived their life. Those who maybe even in death continue to be an inspiration to us as we remember their faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Paul begins many of his letters to the saints, not to those who have died and who have gone on, but to those who are living. And as you look around you here this morning, sitting here in these pews, there are saints among us. We aren't saints because we're without sin. We're saints because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because we have asked God's Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and to live, to guide us and direct us, to be that advocate, that counselor that Jesus promised us. What is a saint? According to the Bible, a saint is someone who has committed their life to Christ. According to the dictionary, it is one, any certain persons of exceptional holiness of life, formally recognized by the Christian church. Two, a person of great holiness, virtue, or benevolence. Three, a founder, a sponsor, or patron, as of a movement or organization. And four, in certain religious groups, a designation applied by the members to themselves. But being a saint has nothing to do with our goodness. Being a saint is what Christ does through each of us. It's about God's mercy and God's grace being lived out in our lives. We as United Methodists believe in the sacrament of baptism. God freely offers grace and saving love. And when we baptize that infant or that adult or that teenager, we are asking God's Holy Spirit to work in the lives of those persons. See, God's grace is given to us freely. And in baptism, we are asking for that new life to begin, that prevenient grace that is poured out in our lives before we even recognize it. We are all God's children. God has promised us forgiveness for all of our confessed sin. But that sin is not recognized if the Holy Spirit is not working in our lives. Sometimes we try to suppress that Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't want to recognize the sin that is in our lives. And yet God's grace is working in each of us. God's joy and peace and kindness is available for every one of us because his son went to the cross for each of us. And so it's not in anything that we can do, but it's because of God's love for us. It's because of God's grace being poured out on us that we are given that promise of that gift of salvation. It is because of God's Holy Spirit that we are joined together. Dr. William Willimon, who is a bishop in North Alabama, formerly a dean at Duke University, has written more than 50 books. But he tells the story of giving a tour at the chapel at Duke University to a father and a son. The father said to his son, "Do you know who the saints are?" As they are looking at these beautiful stained glass windows. And the little boy answered, and I quote, "Sure, the saints are the people where the sun, S-U-N, shines through." End of quote. But truly, the saints are the ones who the sun, S-O-N, shines through. And so we are called to be saints for Jesus Christ. is it that people see the sun shining through each of us? Do our lives show that we live for Jesus by the power of God's Holy Spirit? What do you believe are some of the traits of those whom we would maybe consider to be saints here among us and those in the world? Would anyone like to share? In society, we may look at someone such as Mother Teresa as being a saint in the world. We surely can look in Scripture and see many saints, can't we? But what about in our own lives? Where have you seen saints at work? Possibly a Sunday school teacher, a parent, a grandparent, an aunt or an uncle, a friend. I don't believe that we would say any of those who have influenced us in our faith, who have helped us on our faith journey, are perfect. Each and every one of us has flaws, don't we? I don't believe that we could say that any are more holy than another. They have just worked in different ways in the lives of different people. I don't believe that we could say any, even the disciples of Jesus Christ, were without sin. But what I do believe we could say is that they have all been ambassadors of Jesus Christ. They have all been representatives of Christ in this world, and maybe in our lives. First, let's look at the disciples. Ordinary men, weren't they? There was nothing exceptional about any of them. They came from all walks of life. What about Paul, the Apostle Paul, one who condemned, even killed those who claimed to be Christian? However, every one of them listened to the voice of God. Every one of them put their faith in Jesus Christ and lived out that faith in a way that touched the lives of others. On June 30th, 1859, Charles Blondin successfully walked across a tightrope, pushing a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls. Crowds cheered for him as he reached the other side to safety. He asked, and I quote, "Do you believe that I can walk across the falls on a tightrope without falling off?" End of quote. The crowds cheered, and it seemed like such a silly question. They just watched him do it. And as they cheered, they were emphatically yelling, "Yes, you can." To which Blondin then replied, and I quote, "Then get in my barrel and I'll take you across." End of quote. How many of you, after witnessing that, would have got in that wheelbarrow and went across that tight rope? You know what? That's how much trust we have to put in God. We have to know that there are going to be times that we are on a tightrope in a wheelbarrow and Jesus is pushing it. We have to be willing to put our faith and our trust in Him, knowing that He is going to get us safely to the other side. What about Mother Teresa? Does everyone here know who Mother Teresa was? A great woman, wasn't she? She was a missionary in the world. But this is what she said about herself. By blood, I am Albanian. By citizenship, I am an Indian. By faith, I am a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the world. As to my heart, I belong to the heart of Jesus. God still loves the world, and he sends you and me to be this love and his compassion to the poor, to quench their thirst for love and for souls. What about Paul Hewson? Any of you know who Paul Hewson is? How many of you know who Bono is? A great singer. Well, Paul Hewson is his real name. He is known for a lot of humanitarian work in the world. He is a Christian. And after talking about God's love and God's grace, he tells us that that is his greatest desire, that it be made known. And that should be our desire too, to live out that love that Christ has for the world. How grace defies reason and logic, and love interrupts by the blood of the sacrificial lamb. He states, and I quote, "Not that there aren't consequences for our actions, there are. But Christ died, taking on the sins of the world, and it's not our own good works that get us through to heaven." End of quote. See, it's about us being a little bit more like Jesus. And it's about us sharing that love with others, so that the world could be transformed. Now, what about people who have personally influenced you? For me, it was a Sunday school teacher whose name was Helen Houston. She was a woman in our church when I was a little girl who loved us. And she not only taught us in Sunday school, but she lived in a house that was on the route that we walked every day to school. She would always come out and greet us, not only those who were in her Sunday school class, but all of us who walked on that route. And she would inquire about us. And even as little children, we knew that she truly cared about us. Someone who had a great influence in my life, on my faith. Another was Ron Young, who was one of my youth leaders, who once went to the administrative council at the church and said, "We need to look at worship in new eyes. We need to look at it through the eyes of our youth and see how it is that we can reach them. Of how it is that we can show them that we love them and care about them, so that they will hear the message that God has for them and not listen to what the world is telling them. For that, I will be eternally grateful." Or for previous pastors of mine, such as Dennis Adams, who made me realize that God was calling me, even though I had said no many times. For Pastor Bob Ford, for showing me that God made me me. And for me not to try to be anyone else, but to allow God to use me just as I am. There are many more. But my question to you is, who was it for you? Were there those people in your life? Maybe from the time you were a child, or maybe not until you were an adult, or maybe both, from childhood into adulthood. Who were people of great faith, who showed you what it means to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not people who necessarily were exceptional or powerful or outstanding citizens, but just ordinary people, like the disciples, like Mother Teresa, like Helen Eusted and Ron Young. As we look at all of these people, those in my life and those who you are sitting there thinking about, what do they have in common? I believe what they had in common was a passion. A passion to listen to the God who sent his Son into the world to take away our sins and to set us free. Do we have that passion? Do we have that passion to look to see who it is that we can reach out to and make a difference in their lives? Or have we somewhat ended up in a spiritual rut? That rut of getting up and coming to church, maybe Sunday school once a week. Maybe coming out another time of the week for Bible study or an event that is going on in the church. And then fail to be those people the rest of the week. Have we somehow become lukewarm Christians? Have we somehow become a lukewarm church? Remember the words as told to the church in Laodicea in the book of Revelations? I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. My friends, let us not end up as vomit in the pits of hell. Let us remember who we are because of Christ Jesus. And let us be the windows that the sun, S-O-N, shines through. Let us be the saints of today. Let us live in a way that others will question and want to know more who Jesus is. Let us share our faith in a way that will have an influence in someone else's life. Amen.